Support for the Players, the Pop Culture as PlayStation podcast, is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code FTP at au.manscaped.com. If my math is correct, and it might just be, that's about 8 million balls.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast. With over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in that games media combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are watching us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it, or you can help support the brands that help that support us, just like Manscaped. So if you head over to au.manscaped.com, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. How are you, Max?
Yeah, not too bad.
So we're just having a discussion with the chat, by the way. So for those who don't know, PopC, which is what you're listening to, we exist within a pretend wrestling promotion called TCW. I believe it's called Transfer Twitch Championship Wrestling. It's run by a good friend of ours, Mad Dog _1992 over there on Twitch. We have renders of ourselves in WWE 2K22, and we were just discussing how Max needs to join our staple.
Sorry, I was going to be like a real team. They're like, look at him thinking that not all wrestling's pretend anyway.
Touche. But this one's pretend in that I'm actually in a ring doing something. So I think we're going to have to get you in, Max. I think Craig's going to have to build you. Now, this is your moment to
I thought you wanted to start winning matches, mate.
Well, that's the thing. In order for you to maybe we need, maybe you're the secret recipe. Maybe you're like in Space Jam, you're the water bottle with Bugs Bunny. That's a weird cut. But yeah, maybe yeah, you're Bugs Bunny's water bottle to our Space Jam.
I'm Jordan's secret stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like a penis, but you may also be Michael Jordan's penis. So this is your moment. What would you, if we kick the show off in like in a complete silly way, what should Max the Wrestler look like? What kind of ring attire do you want?
I feel like I should be a luchador, wear a mask.
Some form
of like ridiculously snazzy suit.
well, we're pop corporate right now, so we've turned heel and we're all corporate. So yep, the suit's there. So suit with a luchador mask.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Mean? What kind of flair? A suitador, as Mad Dog in the chat says. What kind of flares would you like on your mask? A mask manager, says Puck. That's probably a good way to go about it.
No idea.
Because like Rey Mysterio has like the bird, like the big birds on his cheek. You know, he has the like the cross on the forehead. Did you want like, you know, some variances to it, like? You want the fucking Harry Potter scar, you big dork, or like...
I mean, like, just a, like a target.
Like bullseye.
Just like hit me here.
All right, in that case, we'll leave the mask flare up to Craig, but that's pretty cool. Oh, actually, so as a luchador, does that mean that, obviously, you're a manager, so you may not be in the ring?
I need to be able to do sweet flips.
You want flippity does?
Otherwise, there's no point.
All right,
if I can't do sweet flips, like...
Now, do you want... to have it be correctly proportioned to your current size, height, and weight.
Oh, yeah, I want to be a short, fat dude.
But like, with flippies?
But with flippies. Obviously.
That would be absolutely amazing. I had done. Craig.
I'd picture me like a bowling ball through the sky.
But in a suit with a fucking mask on.
But in a suit with a mask on.
That's amazing. That's something that I greatly need in my life, I think. That's well, Mad Dog signed it. He's in. He's like, so he's the TCW contract is there. It's ready to go. Love it. Apart from your future wrestling digital debut, how you been?
Yeah, not too bad.
Anything exciting?
Been a pretty good week. I've well, yeah, so I got a text message from my builder today.
Hey,
it's like, hey man, check it out. You've got shit on your property now. I'm like, sweet.
So, but like, is this the same shit from 2 weeks ago when some other prick dumped?
So they've now flattened all the ground out. All the pipes are in. They've laid the formwork, ready to lay the slab. Hopefully this week.
Nice.
So that's cool. That's happening. That's all exciting.
Like, I kind of forget that you're growing a house just because it's taking so long.
So long, I know, right? And in other building related news, I managed to score myself, because I'm a big old nerd, the Hogwarts Castle Lego set, thanks to friend of the show. Ryan Betts.
So I was just sitting there like trolling through Marketplace, because after building the Lego tall neck last week, I am just hard itching for Lego, like something fierce, like the complete like zen that I had while I was putting it together. You know, granted I was on a phone call at the time and there were some like legally things we were discussing. And it was like kind of not the most funnest call, but like I still was able to go and just sort of build this cool tall neck. Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, I can't afford brand new Lego because I'm poor. I'm single income now. And like, does anyone want to donate me Lego? No, that's cool. Well, I'll go looking around. So I had a look and I went to like Toy World, and I didn't want to do like like Star Wars is cool. I fucking love Star Wars, but you know, the spaceships are fine, but not the same. You know what I'm saying? And then I was like, oh, then I saw the Seinfeld set and I'm like, oh, wait, I don't really give, like I like Seinfeld, but not enough to spend X. And then I saw the Friends. I'm like, oh, wait, I don't even care how much.
Ali really wants the Friends apartment.
Oh, because there's the two. There's the single apartment. And there's the two apartment. The two apartment one looks fantastic. Now,
yeah.
I don't like Friends that much, but I'd build the shit out of that set.
Mm.
I'd build the shit out of it hard.
Yeah. So my wife came home last week with the Darth Vader head. So I now have Venom, Iron Man, Carnage, and Darth Vader.
Yeah.
One of those things is definitely not like the other.
And like, I know that me right now, like just hard, like this is just my ADHD brain hard focusing on Lego because I got endorphins out of it. I got dopamine. I'm like, oh, how good's dopamine, right? And then I just want to keep repeating that, knowing full well that I can't afford it. But then during my trolling of Facebook Marketplace, and knowing that you had, like, you're like, oh, I've always wanted to, my dream build is the Hogwarts Castle. I was like, hang on, wait, and it's the full-blown castle, and I'm like, does that normally go for like $800?
Yeah, so it's 750 brand new, and I got it for 450.
Yeah, and like barely touched.
The only catch was one bag had been opened, and like I went out there and had a look at it, and the lady who was selling it, she's like, yeah, just open everything up, if you're happy with everything, take it, if there's anything wrong with it at all after the fact, message us and we'll organize replacement parts.
What a legend.
Cool about it. Yeah.
So why was she pissing it off?
Well, it was her daughter's, and she's like, I don't have room in my house for this, and I put my foot down, so my daughter's selling it. I'm nice. Like, okay. My gain.
Well, then you and I had this intense discussion about like, well, what do you do now? Like, cause it's a fucker of a piece. Like, it's huge. And, yeah, you're, so, and you know, you moved to your new house in a couple of months. So, like, do you build it now and then try transport it? Do you wait?
Yeah, no,
but isn't waiting the worst shit in the world?
It's sitting in a box. It's not going to be built until after we move. But I've been looking at buying some, like, glass display cabinets to put, like, because I've got a few pop vinyls now. I've got these Lego heads, and ideally I will have like a studio space similar to yourself once I move into my new place, and I want some cool stuff to put on display behind me so we can get rid of these ugly ass curtains, and obviously new space, different area.
Well, I'm glad the people can't see it off camera because it's square compared to widescreen, but
like right there.
On your right hand side, there was a box of shapes that have been there for about 8 months. So they're empty, but that box is long gone. So that's good to see.
But the issue is it is quite a wide and deep build.
Hot.
That none of the cabinets are deep enough for it.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Not at all. So, Fabes 19 in the chat does add that we just moved house with the Hogwarts castle and it was a nightmare. So they would understand. So maybe you've made the right call.
But we went out today because Ellie was looking at getting a gift for a friend for her birthday, and she bought the Lego succulents, because, you know, why not? And then she pointed out another Harry Potter set, and I'm like, I kind of want that now, but that's $400 EDs.
One's that?
It's the collector's Hedwig with the enrollment letter.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one too.
I kind of want that. And it has half as many pieces as the castle, so it's like 3,500 pieces. It's like, ooh, that'll keep me busy.
Oh, man.
One build at a time.
And the thing that, like, I love is that we are both, like, feeding each other's interest in Lego right now. As in, you're like, hey, this Batman cow's only $80. But I appreciate you being like, I think you can afford $80. I'm like, hey, Max, this one's $450. Like, we have very different understand. Like, thankfully, we have very clear understandings of our financial fluidity right now.
The heads are just good. The heads are reasonably priced. They're a couple of hours for a build. They're like a couple of hundred pieces, and they look good.
Yeah.
Like, and they're easy to transport.
Look, I've never done this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to e-beg right now. Hey, everyone, support my habit, please. It's a new habit. I'd like for it to start. I feel it could be dangerous. And I haven't live streamed in literally forever. I would, if people want me to, actually
sponsor me some Lego.
I will build Lego on stream for funsies. And everyone's like, I don't want to fucking see you now, let alone building Lego. I'm like, yeah, touche. It's a good point. I understand where you're coming from. I appreciate it. So look, is that a genuine e-beg?
Yes.
Yeah. Mostly no, but also a little bit. And just a little bit. Like if it happens, I'm gonna buy fucking dick. I'm gonna fucking buy a sweet Lego out of it. But anyways, yeah. Oh, I want to play. Oh, right now I'm thinking about Lego. Can we just kill this show and go talk about Lego now?
Well, yeah, because when we're leaving the store, because we're in town, and I'm like, because obviously we've got the box sitting on the dining room table with the Hogwarts castle. There's like four instructions.
And that's the worst part. You look at it every day.
And like it's massive, but then you go in and you look at like the style, like the destroyer or the AT-AT or any of those, and they're like tens of thousands of pieces. The boxes are like massive; they're like $1,200 redos.
Man,
it's like a buck a piece. Like that's
it really sounds nice. Beautiful. I would love it, absolutely love it.
So,
but yeah, hence our discussion last week, how Sony should do more of them, so then I can give a shit. Because like, yes, Friends is cool, Seinfeld's cool, but I would feel disingenuous like buying the Seinfeld one. Be like, hey, Seinfeld's like good. Like I enjoyed the show; it's really, really good. But like, I don't love it in the same way that everyone else does. But like,
you were looking at knockoff bricks to get like Breaking Bad stuff.
Yeah, they had the Breaking Bad RV and like some knockoff brand on eBay. I was like, ooh, that could work. Because I doubt them ever like agreeing to license a fucking Breaking Bad Lego set because drugs. But yeah. Oh, speaking of just fucking weird things that aren't talking about PlayStation, I went to the movies today. Didn't see a PlayStation movie or even a gaming movie. I went and saw a movie called Everything Everywhere All at Once. So a friend of the show and Popsy co-founder Dylan Bowden hit me up a couple of days ago. He's like, what are you doing Sunday? I'm like, I don't fucking know. It's Tuesday. I'll see what happens. Because we're going to the movies. I'm like, okay. What time? 12:30. what am I seeing? I ain't gonna tell you. I'm like, well, that's fucked. So I had a look, and there was a bunch of different things around 12:30, 12:45, and everything. And that was one of them. And the Little Minx was in there as well. I'm like, we're not going to see a Little Minx concert, are we? That'd be weird. Like, Doc Strange I'd already seen, so I didn't need to go see that again. And then we went and saw it. And all I knew going into this movie was that it was a Chinese-ish made movie. All the stars, all the main actors were Chinese or of Chinese descent, and there's kung fu in it. That's all I knew. But holy actual shit, was this movie deeper, bigger, and better than most things I've seen in the last, I can't tell you how long. Just coming off the back of Doc Strange, the multiverse of madness, that movie does shit. Shit. Multiverse compared to this film. Holy crap. Like, if you want to see how multiverses can be done correctly, this is the movie you have to see. And the problem that I have right now, Max, is as much as I want to sit here and just gush about this movie, and I would if this wasn't a PlayStation show, but I also can't because it hits spoilers really quick. Because you have to think about it that way. Because like you go in knowing that it's this one thing and then you find out it's a bunch of other things. Like, if I was to sit here and try to tell you what this movie was in a sentence, the best I can do is it's about a mother and a daughter and them trying to understand their relationship while also understanding the universe and the existential angst that comes with it while also... considering the idea of multiverses while also having awesome kung fu. And I feel like I've just done the movie a disservice.
Pretty much.
Oh, so good. Like, it's absurd. Like, there are moments where, like, it's silly, but it's fucking deep. Both Dylan and I are just hard crying in this movie. Like, I had to hold everything in my entire being to not, like, hard, like, out loud, just bawling, deep cry. Like, I had to hold that shit in because I'm like, I'm not doing that in a fucking cinema. Now, granted, I've been needing to cry for, like, weeks now and it just hasn't happened. Just my body wouldn't let me do it. So I was already fucking primed. But, like, even now, I was like, I can't fucking ugly cry in my head at this fucking cinema. You know, midday on a Sunday. But yeah, Craig, if you want to see it, let's go. I'll 100% go see it again. I'd watch it again right now if I could. I would consider going, Max, fuck this show, I'm going to watch that movie again.
And it doesn't
so
play
damn
slide,
good right? No, so yeah. It's so damn good. Like, yeah, yeah, it's just because the things that I love, like, it hit a lot because it talks about, like, divorce and family and parenting and, like, when they say everything all at once, they ain't fucking kidding. It's angst, it's anxiety, it's depression, it's suicide, it's like your place in the world, how everything matters, but nothing matters. And how, you know, this is important, but that's not important. And this is important to, oh my God, I can't fucking talk about this movie enough. So good. So, so damn good. Other than that, my week's been pretty chill. Played any games this week?
Me? A few, actually.
Oh, that's, me too, actually. I did actually sit down and play games.
Yeah, a few. I going back to last week, I am still playing Diablo 2 for ladder. Just crunching through it. I'm now in that end game just loot cycle of killing the same boss over and over and over again to get the pieces of gear that I need. Nothing too exciting happening there. Retouched on Nintendo Switch Sports. Game's still fun. And the last one, in a weird change of pace, is on PC. I normally don't game on PC that often. But I picked up, what's it called? King Arthur Knight's Tale, which is like an alternate history for the King Arthur story, mm-hmm. where you play as Mordred and you are trying to destroy what King Arthur has become in this alternate telling where you play the bad good guy. It's really cool. It's one of those turn-based action RPG style games with like grid combat. It's very fun. But other than that, not too much. Just my main thing's been Diablo this week, which is both really, really sad and...
See, it's interesting. Like, we're in this down window, like downtime.
It's just hitting this... Oh, and I reinstalled Assassin's Creed to start pushing through that again.
Back into the backlog challenge?
Gotta hit that backlog challenge, yeah.
Well, because we have to, because all I can win this year is the backlog challenge, because my draft
We're almost half a year in. I haven't touched any of the three games that are on my backlog. And you've at least finished one.
Yeah, my draft is a hot mess, because Dead Space got pushed to next year. Hogwarts is not looking positive. Gotham Knights is coming out this year, apparently, but we can't... As the title of this episode suggests, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, how all games will be delayed forever. There will never be a actual coming out on the first announced release date. I can't see it happening. But I play three games this week. I play a bit more Rootin' Tootin' Cowboy Shootin'. Still enjoying Red Dead. That's my backlog game. I will get there. I'm deep...
If you're enjoying that, you should really jump into Wild West.
I should, but like if I step away too hard from Red Dead, I won't finish it. And I need... And like, mind you, the back end of the year looks quiet. Like, you know, like I still...
Is that because God of War is not coming out this year?
Shut up. But also, you probably, yeah. There's no reason for them to. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute too. Holy shit. But like, where I'm at right now is like, if I step away from Red Dead, I won't go back for a while. I've got that buzz right now. I need to run with it. But like, I had my son over this weekend, so he and I sat down and played some games. So he has his little iPad mini that he kind of just peruses YouTube on, like YouTube Kids. And he keeps coming across this one channel that does like Hello Neighbor content. And I've heard about Hello Neighbor and how it's like sort of an internet phenomenon for like kids and stuff. And like, I know it's kind of... I'm at least more aware of it than in terms of... I'm like, oh, it's not that bad compared to, say, like Five Nights at Freddy's. So I was like, fuck it. It's $7 on sale this week. I was like, done. I'll pay $7 and he and I can play some random game together. It's a weird title. So the whole idea is that you break into your neighbor's house and the neighbor is pissy at you for doing so and will catch you and throw you out. So the idea is you need to solve the mystery of his house when he doesn't want you there because you're breaking into his house. It's very similar to the idea of, like, you ever see that movie with Shia LaBeouf, Disturbia, where it's him like peeping through the door?
Same
thing. As you see something suspicious happen and you're like, I have to find out the suspicious thing. Like, you could just leave it. It's his business.
But it's Bart Simpson spying on Ned Flanders when he kills his wife.
A little bit, yeah. But like, you go in the house and you're like, the houses are fucking weird and creepy, and you end up in the basement and there's like three acts and we got through the first two, and it's like, so it's like a puzzle game, but like it's that puzzle game in the sense that it doesn't tell you what to do. It just goes, you need to get the red key, work it out. Which is insane for like a kid's game, but like the game has a level of relative creative freedom. Like, it's not like a survival game and you have to build a bunch of shit. It's just like, well, you can pick stuff up and you can put stuff down. Think about it.
Yeah.
And then you realize you get up to second floor somehow and there's a broken shelf out the front. Well, there's boxes behind the house. Maybe if you pick up those boxes and bring them over there and make your own stepladder, and you're like, oh, boy, you're on the roof. And that's pretty much what it does. And you're like, oh, shit. So you just kind of solve minor puzzles until you get there. It's really cool. Like, he's loving it. He just doesn't really give a shit about the missions. He just runs around and annoys the neighbor in the same way he played, like, Untitled Goose Game, which is his entire motivation, just to fuck off people in that town, which was great. Speaking of Untitled Goose Game, though, I picked up Unpacking. Which is Untitled Goose Game. It's this independent Australian game. It's made by a team called Witchbeam, who had previously made Assault Android Cactus, which I remember playing years ago at PAX, and that game was dope. It was a really cool twin stick shooter. And then this caught my eye a little while ago. It was on PC, it was on Switch. So the whole idea is like you're 2.5D shot of a room, bunch of boxes, and you just unpack the stuff into the house. And there's a series of levels. And it's one of those things, like, each house or apartment or unit or whatever is a specific part of time. So it starts like 1997, and then it goes 2004, then 2007, then 2011. You're like, you know, so it's this, what you're essentially seeing is the story of someone's life through the unpacking of their boxes as they move to new houses. And I didn't anticipate it having such a story to it. I thought it would be like very similar, like House Flipper or something. It's just like, hey, here's a series of levels. Deck it out how you want. Like, it's pretty relatively limitless. You just put the shit where you want in the house. And next thing you know, I'm sitting there and I'm kind of bawling a little bit. Like, it's just like, not like a hard cry, but like, a, you know, I'm welling up in my eyes. A couple of tears popped out. And it was crazy. So like in the first couple levels, now I guess spoilers for those that are interested, is that, you know, you're the story of this woman who, she's a kid, and then she goes off to college or university, and then she gets a partner, and you move into their house, and then suddenly you're back in your parents' home again, you know, but it's the same bedroom, but it's actually scaled. It feels like it's scaled smaller. It's really smart. Like, the idea is that when you're a kid, the room seems huge. And then you get your own place, and then someone moves in with you, and then you move on to your own house. And this, and the thing that got me, because I guess, you know, very personally, like I've moved a number of times in my life, and I've hit certain beats in those houses as someone right now in this situation right now, where I've just had to relocate and put my entire life in boxes and start anew in a new house. So I guess it's a little on the nose in terms of where I'm at emotionally. So it's made sense to me to get sort of like emotionally invested in it or something. But I mean that in terms of, because the thing that got me is all these steps, and you see the build up. You move into this house, heartbreak, back at the bottom. Getting your own space, having that moment of independence, having someone join your space, and then the next house is essentially a house, and it's a family house, and one of the rooms you have to put together is a nursery. So it's just a lovely story, and it's set up to be that they're a same-sex couple as well, which is kind of cool. It's really subtle. You just kind of pick it up if you know, you're like, I'm starting to unpack a lot of dresses, and you're, oh, okay, cool, that's nice. But I mean that in terms of like, and I remember when like I set up my son's room with my ex-wife and at the house, and I remember how awesome that was and just how powerful it was. And then it's just one of those things that you start thinking about, like how life has changed and how we take different paths and different journeys. And, you know, I guess it hit home for a little bit. It got kind of sad, but like, it's a very good game. Like, it's so simple. It's such simple mechanics. Like, open a box, it's a fucking plushie. All right, I'm going to put you there. And the game has some, like, you know, defined rules. It's like, hey, this goes in a kitchen. You know, then it kind of has, like, some relative logic. Like, would you really put a pot in, you know, over here? Like, you'd probably put it here. So, like, there's finishing the level, which is just putting shit wherever you want. And then there's, like, completing the level, which is you put everything in the game's logic of appropriate space. And if it doesn't, it flashes red and goes, hey, if you think about putting this somewhere else, you could leave it. You can proceed on to the next level, I'm pretty sure. But, like, you put it in the right spot, and then it kicks you on to the next three. It's a ton of fun. It's on the PopC account, too, if you're interested.
Cool.
I thought it'd be something that you might get a kick out of. So
definitely.
I picked it up through there so we could both have a play with it. But it's really cool, like a simplified art style. It's got this really nice, like, chiptune-y, but not quite, like, very nice sort of, like, soundtrack to it that kind of has this whimsy to it. It makes me feel a lot of Story of Seasons and, like, Harvest Moon and that sort of energy, which, you know, everyone knows how much I love those games. So, yeah, it's one of those ones that I wasn't ready to play emotionally, and I didn't realize until halfway through playing it, in the same way that me playing through that Dragon Cancer on PC. I was like, oh yeah, this game's getting rave reviews, I'll check it out. Next thing you know, I'm uncontrollably bawling, and I've never been able to finish that game. You know what I mean? And I at least I think I can finish this one, I think. But yeah, it's what a game. What an absolute game. I'm looking forward to finishing that. But yeah, other than that, I don't think I've played anything else. Still impatiently waiting for Story of Seasons, Pioneers of Olive Town, to come to the PS4. Hopefully it's not far away. Fingers crossed. But anyway, I think that's all the games you played. So let's do let's be shills for a moment, and then we'll get into the main topics. Like the leaves falling from the trees, Max. Sometimes our pants also fall down, and it is important to look your best in these kinds of situations. And the way I make sure I'm always looking good is Manscaped. Because if I drop trowel, it's a little bit of cold outside. I need all the help I can get, you know what I'm saying? So it's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside the package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
Manscaped has also moved beyond your down under by releasing their Ultra Premium Collection. This full body collection includes shampoo, body wash, moisturizers, deodorant that will have you smelling sweeter than the autumn air. And not only will the Ultra Premium Collective have you smelling great, but you can feel good about it because all of these products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, vegan-friendly, and dye-free. The best ingredients with zero compromise.
That's right, and they're over my left-hand shoulder here, if you want to see them, you know, including the Manscaped lip balm. Does not taste like ball sack. So get 20% off plus free worldwide shipping with the code FTP if you head on over to au.manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free worldwide shipping if you use the code FTP at au.manscaped.com. Make sure you have the best package for your package and choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Yeah, I got my Manscaped email 2 days ago saying that my bi-monthly restock is happening. So gonna have some toner coming in, some crop mops, and a new shaving head for my lawnmower.
Yes. See, the downside is I did have one of the lip balms. I had it in my pocket, and I don't know the fuck where it went. Like all good lip balm, it's gone. Yeah, fucked if I know where it went.
I opened my wife's ashtray in her car, and there's like 7 lip balms.
Well, can you please check it? I've not been in her car, but like, is my Manscaped lip balm in her car? It seems to congregate in her ashtray, apparently. Mm. But anyways, let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, Max, you haven't put it in here, but I'm going to kick this week's news off myself this time.
Okay, cool.
This week, it was
throw in that non-PlayStation related news.
Hey, it's relevant. There's some things to talk about. This week, it was announced over on Bethesda's social medias that both Starfield, which is Bethesda Softworks' title, and Redfall, which is Arkane Studios' next release, have both been pushed back into 2023. Now, this is on the huge reveal earlier, I think last year, with Starfield wanting to hit the 22nd of November 22, you know, just wanting to hit at like a particular target, like pretty date. And then delayed. So that's on the back of rumors that the engine's fucking shit and that flying isn't very fun. So, and then off again, once again, as I mentioned at the start of the show, like a couple of days before, Dead Space got announced, was originally booked for this year, 2023. And then, what else got, like Suicide Squad got delayed into next year as well. Mm-hmm. Like, left and right, everything that's getting dates announced for it.
I believe Gotham Knights took its date, and then it just got pieced out.
Yeah, it's going to spooted. So, in the next year. So, really, this has completely blown open the back end of the year. So, aside from Modern Warfare 2, which we know will hit its date because Call of Duty somehow do it, come hell or high water. But there's a couple problems here, Max. As the name of the episode suggests, all games to be forever delayed, or delayed forever, whatever the fuck I worded it. Originally, X amount of time ago, it was, COVID. COVID is why these games are getting delayed. 2 years in, what is it? Can we believe dates anymore? I mean, there's a bunch of different questions I have here about delayed games, Max. What's your thought?
Well, I've said it a few times now. If you don't put a date on it, the game can never be delayed,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is my theory behind God of War at the moment. There's obviously some, you know, during that time of Starfield, that you know they've been bought into the Microsoft wheel and all that stuff. I'm sure, like although they remained autonomous for the most part, I'm sure there is some management that they have to deal with, and who knows what that could be. Who knows what the issue is if the rumors are to be true and the engine's just a complete hot mess. It's I think in the wake of Cyberpunk, delays aren't that bad. Because no one wants a repeat of that. Because that really did leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. CDPR lost a lot of their customers' faith. Like I still haven't gone back and played Cyberpunk.
And you're sitting in a cyberpunk chair.
I'm sitting in a cyberpunk chair, and I said this last night. I think it's the only thing that they did right.
But they didn't even do it. The fucking was it?
Secret Labs.
Yeah, Secret Labs just reskinned their own already really good chair.
But that's what I mean. Like, you really do only have one chance at a first impression, and it's better to be late to the party and look good than rock up still doing your makeup, I guess.
Yeah. Look, I understand that, and I
for a really shitty analogy.
Yeah, no, that's actually a pretty good analogy, if we're being honest. Like the challenge that I have with it
is putting your socks on still.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Like your pants are still unbuckled at this point, and you're like,
yeah. At least I'm trimmed down there.
Yep.
I'm looking good.
Hashtag sponsored. Look, for me, like I don't have an issue with a delayed game. Because I'm very similar to yourself, I believe, oh, good, that means they're doing something. Like,
does it suck to be like, I'm so stoked, this game is coming out on X date, and then they're like, hey, guys, X date's not going to happen, we're really sorry, we're gonna try for this one.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, should I get excited for that date, or is that date just going to come and go, and you're still not going to be ready? Like, maybe don't put another date on it. Like, obviously they haven't, they said we've pushed it back to 2023. 2023 is a long window of opportunity. Days, yeah. So, you know, at least they haven't gone, it's coming quarter one. We're only a little bit behind schedule.
Yeah.
They're managing that expectation of their consumers and their fans to be like, it's not ready. You really shouldn't play it at the moment. We're going to push it back. Could be a couple of months. Could be longer. It'll come out in 2023.
And like, that's the difficulty for me. Is like, I understand a delay. Delay is good. Like in the way that, cool, it means it's going to be better. Right? Great. But
in theory,
part of me is just, I guess it's because of the cynicism that this has created, and me just being in the industry for the time that I have, is just that like and they're like, oh, we're coming out in November. I'm like, cool. See you in March.
Is it just Microsoft being like, we'd really like you to release it next fiscal year as opposed to this fiscal year?
This is another thing. Because right now, Xbox have nothing.
Yeah, they've bought all these studios and they're not releasing
it. See, I'll talk about like delays in general first, but you know, fuck it, let's jump to that now. So, this is the thing. And this is why I wanted to bring this up, because if we want to look at what PlayStation are going to do, because last week we were speculating around them having this E3 summer showcase or summer US showcase, like, does, you know, do they need to do it? And the answer kind of is now no, right? Like, because if the idea is to show them what the rest of the year holds, what the next 12 months holds, they didn't have to do anything, and it's probably going to go well for them, really. You know, man, it's like, you know, at least we know in the near future, we'll have God of War at least. But like, Microsoft, with all the studios that they have acquired, like, they have nothing coming out in the foreseeable future. Nothing is dated.
Well, I mean, it is interesting that, Arkane expected such a quick turnaround after releasing Deathloop. So it's interesting to see what caused the... Because obviously they were very vague in their posting of why the delay happened. Mm. But yeah, you're right. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
So it's the difficulty challenge here. I'm not sitting here going that, like, you know, because PlayStation, they're in a similar boat. Outside of God of War, we have no idea what the future holds. So, like, that conversation around, like, Microsoft don't have anything, like, it's not like this isn't us versus them. This is a greater issue, right? And this is the thing we discussed before. A game that never has a release date can never be delayed. And right now, they're not announcing shit because, A, they don't know when they can deliver, or, you know, like, even an example, like, they got Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine and Wonder Woman and all these things that popped up in there in that last state of play they did. No, fucked if they know when it's coming. Yeah. Fucked if they know, right? And aside from God of War, they have nothing. Now, I'm not sitting here going, oh, Microsoft are mishandling their studios. A little bit. But, like, you know, Starfield and whatever, like, that's out of their control. If Bethesda are as autonomous as they claim to be, then this is on them. And do you think, you know, especially off the back of Cyberpunk... Like, okay, makes sense. Be cautious. And especially then you go back one more game, you got Fallout 76, a game that was handled incredibly poorly and was received horrible reception. And then you go back another one and you've got Fallout 4, which got demolished off the back of The Witcher 3 because that game was made in such isolation that they didn't take into the world around them. They didn't consider the changes in role-playing games that have taken place between Fallout 3 and its expansion, New Vegas, and then over into Fallout 4. So I understand, but like Bethesda Softworks specifically, their hesitation to, you know, to release it on shitty, but like, with that in mind, are Bethesda no longer excused for releasing buggy messes?
I mean, they've always released buggy messes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but are they no longer going to be excused for that? Mess.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, you know, there's times where people will overlook them as charming or adds an interesting quirk to the title itself. And one that springs to mind for me personally was the Friday the 13th game. Like, that was riddled with buggy mess. But you know what? Most of the time, they were fucking hilarious, yeah. And they made the game fun. Was it annoying at times? Sure. But did it cause me to laugh every bloody time? Also, yes. So, you know, when the game is still playable, but they've got those, you know... Sometimes characters are just randomly floating around in T-poses. Like, cool. It's funny. Yeah. As long as the game's playable and not completely broken, like Cyberpunk was, to the point where, you know, save files were getting corrupted, you couldn't finish missions because checkpoints weren't clicking through properly. That game was a mess. There wasn't any, you know, lovable bugs or funny little quirks to it. The game was fundamentally broken.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a tough balance, and I don't want to get too into the weeds on it, but it's just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I guess it's my cynicism. Just like, can we fucking believe any of this anymore? And like, look, knowing that it's a business and it is the games industry, it's the games business. And like, every time they announce a release date, it's just so you can get your pre-orders in and they can take your money. And then knowing full well that they could just can it and or push it back at any given point. Like, that's just me just being whatever. But
yeah, for sure.
Anyway, let's move on, Max. What's the next bit? Because we've used a lot of, you know, silly jargon in the chat we just had, but you know, so someone somewhere may not have picked up what we're putting down.
Yeah, so thanks to PlayStation.com, they have accrued a list of popular gaming related terms. It is your A to Z guide on what to say, where to say it, and what they actually mean, so you too can fit in with all the cool kids.
See, when I saw this article, I sent it to you and be like, we need to talk about this in the news. Because my instant feeling from it was, hello, fellow kids. Here's all those gaming terms you need. And then you read it and you're like, no one says fucking any of this shit.
But I mean, in certain spaces, they do. Like, you know, they've literally, you know, you go to that webpage and there's across the header is your alphabet A through Z. You click on it and it gives you a list of gaming related words of that, like beginning with that letter. And some of them are fine. Some of them I would argue against to a degree. For instance, under F, they have FF listed, which they claim is an acronym meaning friendly fire. FF refers to any situation in which players are vulnerable to attacks from their own allies, or to describe the act of being attacked by an ally. For me, as a who predominantly uses that term in League of Legends, FF means forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
It means 15 minutes has passed in the game. There is no possible way this game is going to turn around or win. So you hit slash FF, you forfeit the game. It boots up a voting system, and your teammates can vote whether or not that they want to forfeit and move to the next game instead of wasting the next 30 minutes of their life.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of very specific terms in here, especially around, like, fighting games, which is interesting.
Mm.
Like, and, like, a lot of them, they're standard sort of, like, beats. So there's not, like, you know, bullshit gamer jargon. Like, they're all correct terms. There's talks about like ray tracing and judder and, you know, like this and that, like iframes and like all these key words that I just sort of take for granted, I guess, because we've been doing it for so long I just don't think about it. But I guess, how the fuck did I learn about, you know, I'm sitting here once again, cynicism through the wazoo, being like, oh, who the fuck needs a list of alphabetical game terms? Me, when I started.
I mean, to a degree, the games that use them do a good job of onboarding you. Like, you know, you look at all those old school RPGs where there's another one. They teach you what HP is or what SP is or what MP is.
Yeah.
Probably the most hilarious one on this is Get Good, which is the...
It's very outdated, though.
Is it, though? I mean, Elden Ring only came out 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, but no one takes that term seriously is what I'm getting at. Like, so, NoobTube is in there. Who the fuck still calls it NoobTube?
Mm.
Who even uses the term noob anymore? Is that still around? Or have we just aged out of it and it's still there?
I don't play FPS games anymore.
That FPS also on the list, everyone, in case you weren't sure.
So, it's funny. As a quote-unquote gamer, this list is quite funny. But, I mean... It's looking at it, it's just, it's seeing that meme, like, hello, fellow cool kids, like.
Yeah, thankfully it's not too bad, which is all good. But anyway, speaking of fucking terminology you're probably going to know about, firmware, Max. Is that on the list?
Oh, it is, of course.
Did it make the alphabet list?
No, I don't think it's technically.
Oh, well, that's an important one. So you put firmware on there. Anyway, firmware updates this. Another one dropped this week, weighing in at just over 1 gigabits. Gigabyte, sorry. A new firmware update is available for your PS5. And let's all say it together. This system software update improves system performance. That is it. Woohoo. Put that fucking in your A and B list.
So on the back of talking about people buying developers, let's talk about Sony and Bungie. So whilst Bungie will remain largely independent, their knowledge and input will help output the numerous upcoming live service games Sony has in its pipeworks. While the $1 billion buyout is currently being investigated by the FTC,
which we touched on last week.
It seems Sony is not concerned whatsoever. Quote, this forecast is based on the assumption that the acquisition of Bungie, which is currently under review by the relevant authority, will close in the third quarter ending 31st December 2022. So they're just like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's fine.
Yeah, so I love the idea. So
they're going to close by the end of the year. We're not stressed. It's all good. Because going back to last week, their main concern was that Bungie was going to become a first-party studio and that's just not the case.
Yeah, so one of the things we for anyone interested that hasn't checked it out, go check out episode last week. We talked about all about this in depth, but one of the things that was brought up was the idea of a Japanese company buying an American company. That's probably why the FTC is getting more involved than ever before. You know, we touched upon all last week in terms of Embracer Group and Microsoft and how no one gives a shit about that, but apparently they give a shit about this. But look, it just seems that it's also part of the regular investigation mixed with a little bit of extra for some reason. Like this has gone into the second stage. But if Sony aren't worried about it...
Apparently there's a new head of the FTC who's like fully got like a massive hard-on for in the game space for people purchasing a bunch of... So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And as Eminem, did once say, you know, the FTC won't let him be, so let me be me, so let me see. And they try to shut him down on MTV, but it feels so empty without him. Bloober, Max... could be joining PlayStation Plus. This is the new PlayStation Plus, not the one that we have fang-dangling right now. A document dating...
Don't forget that starts in like a month.
Holy shit, that does start in like a month.
We still have no idea what games are coming to that service.
Yeah, I give it like 2 weeks out, they'll be like, oh no, here's a fucking siphon filter. There you go.
It's supposed to be like 700 games and they're just like, so far we know none.
We'll just wing it. Yeah, it's most of the games that are already on. It's all the PS Plus games you have plus whatever's on now. That's 700, sure. So a document dating back to the 18th of April 2022 suggests that select games from Bloober Team's catalog could be coming to the newly formed PS Plus in the future. The paperwork, which describes a, quote, significant license and distribution agreement with Sony Interactive Entertainment, end quote, alludes to select Bloober titles being made available as part of a, quote, new distribution system, end quote. Bloober Team will inform about the details, including the release dates, in separate reports, the document concludes, as the machine translated from Polish. Now, Max, a couple of things here we need to think about when it comes to the Bloobers. Is obviously the Medium, which was originally an Xbox exclusive, which then became not so much an Xbox exclusive as it's now on the PlayStations. It's not very good from memory. Like, I haven't played it. I remember it being really shit from whatever I heard. I have no idea what else Bloober have done, but part of me wants to tie it into this next one.
Well, here, let me just quickly... Yeah, because obviously they were... so they did Layers of Fear, Observer, Blair Witch. Observer was pretty good.
Blair Witch was okay. I think it reviewed kind of well. But the thing that we know Bloober are working on in the future... is a Silent Hill game. So we're just going to go straight to the next story. Maybe. That was the rumor mill anyway. The rumor mill is the Bloober Team handling Silent Hill.
Maybe.
So, Max, run through it.
So as you alluded to, the Silent Hill rumors are back, and we've all heard that Konami's horror IP is being brought back in numerous ways. Bloober Team is said to be involved, and a separate game is also allegedly, but probably not, being made by Hideo Kojima. And the latest in this ongoing saga is the new... leak courtesy of Dust Golem, who has some degree of reliability. In a handful of tweets, the so-called insider shares four images apparently related to the new Silent Hill game. They insist the pictures are legitimate and claim to have further proof up their sleeve, like most insiders. Each of the pictures have been taken down due to copyright claims, and Dust Golem's account has been temporarily suspended, which kind of has to make you wonder, is there some truth to these images? So if you are wondering what the images are, there's one of a woman's face made up with labels and with messages like, I hate myself, resting just below the surface. Another image features 100 sticky notes with creepy figures at the end of a red hallway. And the final two pictures just show decrepit rooms filled with rubbish and the wallpaper peeling off the walls. So if there's no truth to these images, why would they be copyright struck, and why would a person's account be banned?
And the level of, once again, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And the amount of smoke that we continuously see around Silent Hill is getting, like, it's choking people. Like, it's choking us out. Like, how have they not announced this yet? Now, this is on the back, right, of Konami having their best financial year like, ever. Like, so they just want to keep swinging? Because this is how you want to back end it further, by throwing some Silent Hill in there. Ooh, And then, like, with Metal Gear or Castlevania, like, shit's getting exciting. But, like, to me, I didn't see these pictures because they were fucking long gone by the time I wanted to look for them.
They are still available. They're obviously screen cap. They're yeah. still out there. You can see them.
But I've expressed my love for Silent Hill before, in that it's the game that got me into horror games, and then recently, just due to it being unavailable because they don't exist right now, I have shifted my love to Resident Evil, especially with Resident Evil 7, 2 Remake, 3 Remake, 4. I'm very excited for this, and I will continue to be until it eventually comes out. It's just interesting. Like, the reason I wanted to connect these two stories together is, you know, there has been the longest rumor mill that, like, Sony was going to acquire Konami as one of them, right? And, like, maybe this is part of it. Maybe, like, well, we've acquired the rights to Silent Hill. So not Konami bought out completely, but, like, hey, we own Silent Hill now, and you're going to get all the old games on PS Plus, hence Bloober. And then with Bloober's coming, they're working on it. And with that, to get a taste of what Bloober can do before Silent Hill drops, here's all their old games. Because if in this part of this backwards compatible PS Plus, if you give me all of the fucking Silent Hill games, like 1 through 4, Shattered Memories, you know, like give me all of them. Book of Memories? Shattered Hope.
Book of Memories.
Book of Memories and Shattered Hope. There's 3 different games. I will run through all of those. Like, backwards compatibility, 9 times out of 10, I don't give a shit. But if I can play all the Silent Hills again,
You say that until you turn the first one on and your 4K TV makes it look like asshole and you're just like, maybe not.
No, but I did. I played, like, through the PS Classic because it's on the PS Classic, right? And it still holds up. Like, the tank controls are jank as shit. But other than that, like, it plays well. It's still spooky, and, like, the way it uses fog to create really cool atmosphere, and you can't see, like, more than a meter in front of your face, is actually really fun. Because the
game couldn't load anything else in.
That's exactly why, and it's dope.
They weren't using it to make it spooky.
But it worked! But it fucking worked! Because then they did it in 2 and 3, and then when they remastered 2 and 3, it came out shit because they removed a bunch of the fog. The fog is what makes it. Silent Hill is important. Fog is important in Silent Hill Universe Max. And 4 was really cool. Everyone shits on 4. I thought 4 was cool. I really quite dig it. So, to me, I know I'm totally pulling at straws to make...
I don't think I've ever played a Silent Hill game.
Yeah, okay. That's
fine. I've been a Resident Evil guy throughout my... career.
Yeah, I remember Book of Memories, I think, was the one on PS3. You remember that came out a very similar time to Alone in the Dark, Inferno, which was
I think I played one on Vita, though.
That's Shattered Memories, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a really weird, like, 2.5 isometric sort of... Yeah, weird. It was fucking weird. Speaking of weird, this is a fun one. EA Sports and FIFA. EA Sports will officially abandon the FIFA license for its line of football/soccer titles, beginning with 2023's game. The publisher has flogged its soccer sims as FIFA for almost 30 years, but has decided to part ways with football's international governing body. Following the release of FIFA 23 later this year, this series will henceforth be known as EA Sports FC. It's in the game. It's imperative to note that this won't affect EA Sports' long-running relationship with leagues like the Premier League and the Champions League, meaning that EA Sports FC will continue to feature real teams and players from all around the world, while the World Cup, which is scheduled to take place in Qatar later this year, will be included in FIFA 23, but it won't feature in EA Sports FC moving forward. EA Sports says that the breakaway from FIFA will give it the opportunity to innovate and crucially evolve. In addition to an enormous asking fee, FIFA was demanding to extend the FIFA license. There were reports the organization were preventing the publisher from being as nimble as it would have liked to be. This is because any additions and or updates to the game had to pass approval. Now, what made me laugh the most, I think FIFA's statement back were like, well, you just fucked up now, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a great read. Like, so...
It's funny. So, my understanding is EA have pretty much, kind of similar to what you said, have reached out to all the clubs to be like, hey, we still want you in our game. We still want to have access to your players. We want to have live rosters, all that stuff. And everyone's like, yep.
Like everyone,
it seems like the only downside is you won't. There will be like no quote World Cup,
yeah,
like FIFA World.
But they'll just make the EA Sports FC World Cup. Like okay, yeah. Woohoo! Yeah. You know, just rebrand. But like,
it's all made up, and the points don't matter.
It is very known on the record that FIFA is one of the most fucking corrupt organizations to ever grace this world. And it's just, like, baffling that, like, they're like, it's fine. It's just fucking FIFA. Let's just party with it. Like, they want exorbitant amounts of... Whatever. Like, they're not the games for me. And I sense some people will be disappointed. But if all the teams coming back, it's cool. It's just fun to watch the absolute petty disagreement between these two companies.
I just love the way that EA Sports are like... Yeah, we're going to innovate and we're going to evolve. And
no, FIFA, you're not.
And FIFA was the reason why we released the same soccer game over and over and over again for the last 30 years.
Then can they explain Madden? Can they explain every other game they've ever made ever? And this is a piece of lame iteration. Like, they are the masters of the annualized franchise. Like, yeah. Did Maxis do the same thing when they did Sims 3 and made them pull out a bunch of shit like swimming pools? Was that what it was? Was Maxis being like, oh, that Sims license? Like, no, EA, you are the problem. You have been the problem this entire time. External licenses are not the problem. It's you.
All right, Ryan. Quick bits. Gotham Knights has cancelled previous gen versions to focus on current gen.
Good!
There will be no PS4 or Xbox One versions.
Good.
Gotham Knights will also feature no microtransactions and will not require an online connection for solo play. Good.
Was it this game or there was another game? There was another game this week that was just like, hey, this next one, no micros. I'm like, yeah, but you're part of the problem. Like, you're the reason that they're bad. Fuck, what game was it? There was another game that was announced this week, I think it was, or something that was announced this week. I forget what it was, but there was something that they were like, hey, no more. Like, the thing I don't understand, right, is they're like, this is not a selling point. The idea that your game doesn't have microtransactions isn't a selling point because you put them in there.
I mean, I guess for games like this, they're saying you're not going to get skins to make you look different to your party members.
No.
As opposed to...
You will not have to pay for them. Remember, Avengers, you know, was like, Avengers was originally like, there is no microtransactions. Remember the big announcement? Then you had to fucking, no, Battlefront 2, Battlefront 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was cosmetics only for Thingo, and then they lowered the XP gain and went, we're going to sell your boosters.
Yeah, Battlefront 2, so you have to, rather, you just have to bust your fucking ass until it's unbearable. You know what I mean? It's like they make the market. They choke out the market. And then to suddenly pat themselves on the back for fixing it, for stepping away from a problem that they created. It's like, I stabbed you. Like, hey, we're not going to stab you anymore. Like, then why'd you stab me the first time? And then I go over there and someone saw that it was successfully, like, fiscally viable to stab me. So everyone stabs me, but I should like you because you don't stab me anymore. Yet you've demonstrated no trust that you won't stab me out after the review window. Crash Team Racing, hey man, it's old school. It's the way it used to be. No microtransactions. All the reviews are done. Sweet, cool stab. This industry's fucked.
Criterion Games and Codemasters Cheshire have merged into one gigantic Need for Speed studio.
And Battlefield 2042, Buzzy says in the chat as well. But once again, that game just didn't fucking do good. But that's probably not EA's problem. That's the licensing from someone else. It's not the fact that EA is just pressuring the games to do whatever. Bleah. Cool. Massive Need for Speed Studio. That'd be pretty cool.
As Ryan alluded to earlier, Dead Space Remake announced its release date set for January 27th, 2023.
Thank you, Draft. My draft is fucked.
Dying Light 2 story DLC has been pushed back to September. Big Final Fantasy news could be coming in the next few months as the series celebrates its 35th anniversary.
Are you all like nip hard for whatever? Because we've been talking about this.
I still don't think 16 is coming out this year, despite the fact that they've said the whole game's done. We're just bug fixing. I still don't think it's coming this year. I think it's early next year, which sucks because I have a feeling that was on my draft list.
Which was Final Fantasy 16. I think it was. Yeah. But look, I'm fucked. Yeah, you have slightly less games that are not coming out this year. You're fine.
Sega says loads of new games are coming this year, including remakes and remasters.
Okay.
And the big one, Elden Ring, has sold more than 13.4 million copies in its first 5 weeks, making it the highest selling game of the year, beating out Call of Duty Vanguard.
This is huge, because Call of Duty has been the best selling game every year for like ever. And like,
yeah, and they've outsold it in 5 weeks.
Yeah, and this is insane. So this, like, it's difficult for me because Elden Ring is like, I think the hype machine got it, hence why everyone's bought it.
Fuck off, the game's great
for you.
Not everything needs to be for everyone, right? No,
but I imagine I imagine
13.4 million of us who are fucking loving this
and
game.
I imagine there are close to like 9 million of those people who went, what the fuck is this, and don't play it anymore.
Probably.
So I'm exaggerating, but like I understand that like everyone's like, oh.
I'd love to. I should turn the PlayStation on and check like the trophy list to see how many people have like what the percentage of platinum trophies for Elden Ring
it's reasonably high. It's like, as in like, because whoever, the people that want to get it are dedicated to getting it, but like the drop off is huge, but those that see it through, see it through. Mm. It's really weird, sort of like, it's really weird data set to look at. Because like most of them you see, like in most games you'll see like a very high in those early trophies and then it slowly just peters out. But it almost like it goes high, drops, and then just goes plateau. So as in whoever's left just fucking works it out till it's done. It's pretty impressive actually. Upcoming releases for this week, Max. Vampire the Masquerade.
Probably more, but I couldn't find them.
Yeah, Vampire the Masquerade, Swan Song, PS4, PS5, May 19th. Dolmen, don't know what that is, PS4, PS5, May 20th.
I may pick up Vampire the Masquerade.
I know you. This has been on your list, hasn't it? No, Masquerade 2?
No, so Bloodlines? there was like three Vampire the Masquerade games in development all at once. I think Bloodlines got delayed indefinitely.
Yeah,
one of them just releases a free to play battle royale, and then there's this one coming out next week.
Well, before we jump out for the night, Buzzy C Lee in the chat, who I haven't seen around these parts in a while. Hey Lee, because I read you out before, but it's good to see you. They have asked, "What's your take on microtransactions if it's cosmetic only?"
People want to spend their money. Let them spend their money.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like for me, it's the same. It's one of these weird spaces, right? But like, it depends on the game. If the game's entirely built around like that cosmetic, like a Fortnite or whatever, that's a bit different. But like, I personally don't buy microtransactions just because I don't. Like, I'm very lucky in that they don't. Like, I'm tempted here and there. Like, impulse is a problem of mine. Hence, you know, it's all part of my big ADHDs. But like, I just choose not to, because if I engage, I end up engaging completely. So I have to not get involved. Like, and I'm thankfully I don't play a lot of multiplayer games, so as a result, I don't get exposed to a lot of sort of cosmetics. But I just have an issue with it as a marketing tool to say that we no longer have microtransactions.
A lot of games that have battle passes, I find, do them very well. So I know, I think the three that I know off the top of my head that I know quite well is Rocket League, Call of Duty, and Fortnite. Once you buy one, you gain enough of the premium currency by fulfilling your battle pass to get the next battle pass for free.
Well,
because you've earned that currency back that you paid to get it in the first place. So as long as you don't, on a whim, spend that currency, you only have to buy the battle pass once, and you can essentially get the rest of them for free as long as you keep playing the game. But once you fall off, you lose that ability to gain that premium currency, and then you would have to buy the next one.
Because, like, I know when Craig and I were playing Red Dead Online last year, we had the same thing. It was the idea of, like, oh, you know, their season pass was 25 in-gold game bricks or whatever, and the game gave you 25 bricks if you just completed the game's completed the battle pass. And then plus all the extra cosmetics and the guns and whatever, like, it gave you all those extra benefits, and you were guaranteed, like, if you did all of it, you were guaranteed to get 25 back. Sometimes I think they even gave you more, you know, to sort of incentivize you to do it, and then you would help keep you going, right?
Yeah.
So I understand, like, that whole carrot stick mentality, and that's cool. I don't know. I'm just very lucky that I don't buy into that shit. I'm also too poor to do it, so it works out well. It works out well.
I mean, I jumped on Fortnite the other night after I got home from seeing Doctor Strange, and there was a Wanda skin. I'm just like,
Yeah, see, like, I kind of want to go back to Fortnite just and keep waiting for Kratos to come back, for Nathan Drake to come back, for, like, Aloy to come back, just so I can go in there and buy them. Because that's literally I don't even play Fortnite. I just want them. And that's the downside. They're, like, $30 a piece or whatever. I'm like, I can't do that. Or get the battle pass. I'm not going to play it. You know what I mean? It's a tough space. Anyways, that does bring us towards the end of the show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Once again, even though we ended up talking about a fucking movie for 20 minutes at the start and a bunch of other bullshit. But, yeah.
It's cool. Quiet at the moment, but next month's going to be a banger.
Yeah, next month's looking a bit gnarly.
With all the Winter Games Fest stuff.
Summer Games Fest
for us, but, you know.
Yeah, whatever. There should be a lot of news in the coming weeks. Speaking of coming weeks,
lots of world premieres. Yeah. Get ready.
If anyone's around the Geelong area at the back end of this month, be sure to come check out DMDU, Deathmatch Down Under. They're friends of mine. I work the show. I'm the audio-visual dude at the Palais. Melee at the Palais. Come check it out. Good bit of stupid wrestling fun. Mac, you should totally come.
Think about it.
No, you won't.
I'll think about it, but like, that's as far as it'll go.
It's pretty much. Craig's going. You can hang out with Craig.
I mean, I like Craig, but...
I don't fucking hang out with him for a whole week.
I mean, I like Craig, but I don't know if, like, wrestling's the way to... Remember what happened last time you got me to hang out with Craig and wrestling? I fell asleep on the fucking couch.
That was fun, though. That was a good laugh. All right. Well, if you're not going to just send us home, let's get out of here.
I'm just like, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are watching us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But you can also help support the brands and help support us just by heading over to Manscaped. That's au.manscaped.com. Use the promo code FTP. Save yourself 20% off and get free worldwide shipping. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Oh, shit. Craig's working on your wrestler. It's got an early build.
I just got an early build.